Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Exploring Missions, one of the great things we do is go back and talk to someone that we've talked with before and get updates about what God is doing in their lives. And today is one of those programs. We're excited about it. I think you will be. The last time on Exploring Missions that we talked to our guest was in September of 2023, but a lot of things have happened since then, and we're going to get an update. We have Sergey Brozov with us today. Sergey, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And Nathan, you get to meet him in person today. The last time you just heard of him and heard him, but now you've met him. So we're glad to do this, aren't we?
Absolutely. It's always good to put a face with a voice.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Yeah. I know when you and I, Dad, are introduced to people who might listen to us, there's always that look of disappointment when
yes,
they see us.
Yes. I tell them, I said, okay, just remember the way you thought I looked.
That's right.
A lot better. But we are glad to have you, Sergey, and it's a joy to have you. And you're still with Chosen People, a ministry ministering to the Jewish community, many countries in the world.
Yes, still working with them. Actually, just been accepted on the full-time staff about a month ago, maybe a little more, almost two. Yeah, wow.
Time flies,
yes. So full-time staff with them, working with them in New York City now, moving from Chicago to the city. And yeah, we're going to be working with students, with the community that we live around. But yeah, Chosen People working in a lot of countries, as you said.
So we have a lot of maybe ground to cover with you to hear your story, to hear what you're doing now, and maybe even some perspective of what is going on in the world. So remind me to get back to what you're doing in New York City. I have some interest with that. But can you tell us a little bit, just briefly, your story, how you came to where you are now, how you came to know Jesus? What has God done in your life?
Sure. Yeah, he get done too much. You know, sometimes our cup definitely overflows. Yeah, so I was born in Ukraine, and my mom and I, because of family circumstances, had to move from Ukraine to Israel. So me and her moved, and I was 5 years old. It was in the 2000s. We moved to Israel, and then my mom remarried again, and she met the Lord, actually, in Israel. It was still legal to evangelize on the street okay. and tell people about God and about Jesus. So she was evangelized, and we're coming from a Jewish family, so that's the reason why we moved there. And then I grew up in Israel, went to high school, just regular life, and then military service in the IDF for 4 years. And then just before signing another 7 years in the army, I kind of didn't know what I want to do in my life. And a good friend of mine, who actually was kind of a mentor of mine, helped me to move to New York and do a mission work in New York City for the first year. And that's where I met my wife, Jessie. She's from Mississippi, actually, and worked in New York City.
So there's Mississippians in New York, too.
Yes, they're up there. They have, I don't know if you know this, they have a gathering every year, Mississippians in New York City. And I don't know how big the group is, but I've heard of that. But anyway, I want to say about Jessie, her family from Northeast Mississippi, many of them are friends of mine, and when I found out you had married into that family, I was so thankful. I said, man, I know those guys. So that made a connection. It really did, Sergey.
No, they are a great family. I'm really blessed, and I sometimes ask myself why, but, you know.
God is good.
God is good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then COVID happened. Our ministry had to shut down because we worked with students, and all the students went home. So I applied to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, got accepted, and I just graduated 4 years after with a degree in the Bible with an emphasis on Jewish studies.
Yeah. So you have that degree now. The last time we talked to you, you did not have it.
Yes, I still was middle of the program last time.
So let me ask you this. Did you have to study Hebrew in your college classes?
So I kind of skipped it.
So you already knew it?
I knew Hebrew.
Okay, that was my next question.
Did you take Greek?
I did take Greek. Okay. Honestly, it was tough.
Yeah, Greek is tough. My only hope was it's not a spoken language. It's a written language. And so that was helpful for me because I have a hard time with English, much less foreign language. But also, let's go back one more thing before we're talking about what you're doing now. That's what we want to concentrate on. You went back to Israel and served. Now, those folks that listen to the other program that I co-host on Exploring the Word, you gave an update. You were going and you came back and you spent time in the southern part of Israel, right down there close to Gaza. Tell us a capsule of what you did, brother.
Right. My family is from Israel. All my family lives there, and we live about 12 miles away from Gaza Strip. So we live in the city of Ashkelon, and if you look at the map, you'll see how close we are. And because I'm a military obligated, they called us all back, and they said, hey, you got to come back. The war started. So the first couple of weeks, they sent it. And one of the biggest decisions was for me and my wife together, because it was our second year of marriage. And it's not something that you anticipate to happen. And I flew back to Israel. So when I came, it was a little bit too late, and there was not a lot of spaces in the army and the military, because about 200,000 people showed up to support the country. And Jesse and I decided to raise some support here in the States, some money. We had an opportunity to do that. And I rented a car, and every day I was delivering clothes to the military or to people in need, food to families, working with the local churches around the city to deliver some humanitarian help to the people, because a lot of people couldn't even go to the store anymore because of age, because of being just stuck at home. And then about 200 sets of clothes for the army, delivered into the border of Gaza, met with some believer soldiers that, because of the military, don't have any connections to the church or any discipleship. So I had a chance to meet with them one-on-one and read the scriptures and read the Bible. And what's interesting, one of them just came to faith at the time, and he was baptized 2 months ago.
Amen.
So, yeah, I'm really glad that God had the opportunity to give me this opportunity to minister in this way. And I've been there for about a month, and then flew back to the States.
Okay, and you went back to school at Moody and finished up there. Okay.
I was doing classes during the time when I was in Israel.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Hey, you don't have to be in person anymore to do classes. That's quite a difference than when I was in school, guys. Okay, yep. Let's go back. You had to show up, and you couldn't do it online. But it is so good to have you here. And tell us about, you were part-time with Chosen People. I think it'd be good to give a capsule of Chosen People and their ministry and then go into what you're doing. And Nathan is really interested in your work in New York City. But go ahead and tell us about Chosen People.
So Chosen People exist to evangelize and teach and disciple the Jewish people. So our main goal is to reach with the gospel the Jewish communities around the world. We believe that what Paul said in Romans, that the gospel went outside to everyone, needs to come back to the Jewish people, and God didn't forget about them.
Amen.
So this is the goal. We exist in about 18 countries. I know that one of my friends actually just flew to Japan to open one of our ministries there. And we just live around our people. We live with our people. We struggle with them in the struggles that they have. And through this life, we share the gospel with them, knowing that only through Jesus, only through our Messiah, Yeshua in Hebrew, then that's the only way to any hope in the future. So this is what Chosen People Ministry does. Also, we speak in churches when we want to teach the church on how to reach the Jewish people, how to work with the Jewish people, what's the differences between reaching anyone else, and why is it such a different ministry. And then we also like teaching the church about the holidays in the Bible, teaching the church about what is going on with anti-Semitism in the country right now. So things like that, they're very important, and they build our ministry together with this.
So let me go ahead and ask you about New York City. Several questions are coming into my mind, so we'll see how many of these I can hold in my mind at the same time. I usually don't do very good with that. So what part of New York City did you live in before when you first moved there? And then Where are you living now?
So the first time when I moved ever to the States was to Manhattan.
Okay.
It's kind of like this fairy tale because you moved to a very rich neighborhood. But we lived really close by NYU, New York University. And the reason for that was because we wanted to reach the students in NYU. Okay. So to be a block away from them gave us an opportunity to hang out with the students all the time, be near them, and then invite them to our house and serve a meal for them every Friday. We call it a Shabbat meal. When they come, when they hang out with us. And I remember, I think every night the conversation ended around 2 a.m. o'clock at night.
Wow.
Because people stayed and just wanted to hear something. Oh, what do you do? Or they brought their problems that they have in life to us and kind of like talked with us. Where do we find our hope in? So it was amazing ministry. Right now, Jesse and I are moving into Queens. We just rented our first apartment there. We are very excited. Yeah, that's going to be in August.
Awesome. You mentioned university student ministry. In New York, specifically at NYU, are students coming from all over the world into New York for studies?
Yes, yes, from every corner of the world.
So at that time, your focus wasn't strictly on Jewish background people. It was just anybody who would listen and you'd welcome into your home. How important is that for Christians or a church that is in a location where there's a university and there's international students coming in? What would you say to someone that's listening that maybe has that burden to, what do I do to get started? How can I just minister to these people, these college students that are coming?
So our focus was actually on Jewish students.
Okay.
But what I found interesting is that when you're focusing on one group, the gospel will reach everyone. Because you can't just decide that, oh, sorry, you're not Jewish, I don't talk to you about the Lord. No, it's very much anyone who wants to listen. To encourage people, it's just start talking to students. A lot of students will be afraid to talk to you for the first time, especially coming from different countries. But as example for me, I'm coming from Israel, and Israel is a country, it's a very warm country. So we will talk to strangers all the time. And then most of the countries in the world like that, you can talk to strangers. It's fine.
Yes.
And I think this is the one of the most important things that we're losing these days.
Yeah.
We need to talk to strangers. And this is how the gospel advances. Reaching students is very important because sometimes they're coming from believer homes, from homes that raised in the church, and they come into college and they're losing this faith because they don't have this community anymore. This is one of the biggest reasons why I want to do college ministry now and go into college ministry, like continue doing that. And another reason is there is a research that says that about 40% of the students that go to college find Jesus there. They find Jesus for the first time. They can hear about Jesus in college because they are outside of their homes that never talked about that. So I think that's an amazing opportunity.
When I hear this in New York City, and NYU and the other colleges, Columbia, that is there, and you talked about anti-Semitism. From before October, when the tragic day on that day of Hamas coming into southern Israel, have you seen an extreme change in anti-Semitism, even in New York City?
I feel like anti-Semitism was always there. It's something that never stopped. It's
okay.
One of the oldest hates in the world, right?
Okay.
And we know that from the Bible. I believe that it's just sparked it. It just sparked the conversation more about that, and people just decided that, oh, wow, I need to choose a side, and they chose the other side. And we see it in the Bible. The Bible tells us about that, that this is what's going to happen in the future, and people will stand up against Israel. And I just saw it like just exploding all over the country. In Chicago, I had the chance to go to DePaul University because I was in Moody at the time, and DePaul University had a huge encampment where they stood and they shot a lot of things against Israel and against the Jewish people. But what my wife and I and some of the friends from Moody decided to come with, it's to come with verses from the Bible that talk about loving your neighbor and loving the Jewish people. And we just stood there with this. We didn't even have any political slogans because I believe the Bible has so much more impact than anything else.
Yeah, the Bible is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. I use this illustration all the time, guys. If I had a real sword in my hand and you say, I don't believe it's a sword, would it not be a sword? No, it's still a sword. The Word of God is still the Word of God, whether anyone wants to believe it or not. And the Bible says the Word of God is powerful,
right,
and alive. And so guess what? The weapon you guys used by the Word of God was the most, a lot more powerful than any political slogan you could ever come up with.
I'm thinking about, you mentioned that you guys are settling in Queens, and several years ago I had the privilege of, well, it was a cold December night. I was walking with a small group of us really late at night through the Astoria neighborhood in Queens, and we were trying to find some pizza, a pizza place that was still open, and to keep us warm, because we were freezing, us Mississippi boys. We didn't know how to handle the cold up there. And anyway, I met a young man, and I remember his name was Matt. He was a Jewish young man who worked as a cameraman on movies and TV sets, and we got to try to share the gospel with him. That was over 10 years ago. I've been praying for Matt ever since. I don't know his story or the end result of that. We did find some greasy New York-style pizza, and it warmed us up. But tell us a little bit about the Jewish community in New York. There's pockets in different places within New York City, and some of those pockets have different, you could say, personalities, or there's different challenges for each group. And have you encountered anything like that, where there's some that are like very hard to work with and talk with, and there's some that are more open and welcoming? What's your experience been like?
That's the interesting part, that my experience has been hard in all of the aspects. As soon as you meet with Jewish people, the first thing that you hear, I'm Jewish, I don't need that. Jesus is not for me. And because I have the tools now, it's mostly like, oh, let me tell you, you're Jewish. You're even closer than you think. And it's just amazing to see. But yes, there's so many different groups of people in New York, and especially with the Jewish aspect, there's Orthodox people who are very devoted to the scripture, which I find amazing to talk with, because they know the Bible. They know what the Bible says. It's just the interpretation wrong. And we need to be respectful to them. You know, I do try to be respectful all the time and tell them, like, look, let's sit and read it together. Let's see what we can come up together with. And then there you have the secular aspect of the people that don't know anything about the Bible, and they're very rooted in the Jewish tradition. The Jewish tradition is one of the most important things we have, and I honestly really love it too, because it's important for us to keep it. And for them, I need to find a different approach. I need to find an approach of, okay, we need to be friends, we need to be family first, and then let me tell you why life is really hard without Jesus. So different people, different approaches, but same gospel for everyone else.
Well, with chosen people, and you said you're equipped now, being a graduate of Moody and being trained, chosen people, they help you to equip you. So in New York City, I think I saw where chosen people, they had the New York City by itself. And then you have the Northeast, the Northwest, the Southeast. But New York City, far as chosen people, it's one group there. Is that because so many of the Jewish people are in New York City?
Yes, yes. New York City is the largest city in the world with Jewish population outside of Israel. There's about 2 million Jewish people live there. And I think all across America, it's about probably three more. And yeah, New York City is a hub.
It's the mega of the United States.
Yeah.
Well, as you have come there and you're ministering there now, you and your wife, and you're looking forward to the student ministry, that's where God's placed it on your heart. I want to ask this, because you introduced it earlier about the meal on Friday night. Is that still an avenue, the possibility of, because that way they get something out of it. And I could not help but think about Jesus on the road to Emmaus with the two people there. They were amazed at his teaching. But when they sat down at the meal is when they recognized it was Jesus. How special is that, Sergey? Eating meal, sharing the meal. I mean, we have the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, you know, all the meals. Is that an evangelism tool?
Yeah, I think meals are just amazing opportunity to share the gospel. Everyone loves to eat, right?
Amen.
And
there's proof that we love to eat, dear.
And that's the thing. Like, you can sit around the meal, talk about life, talk about everything you want, because this is what people share their life in, you know, even with strangers, we just sit and eat together. And then when you eat and when you have this opportunity to talk, like, this is the moments of trusting each other. And in these moments, we have an opportunity to share the gospel or just ask you, like, okay, what is going on in your life? And, you know, you mentioned Matt. If Matt ever listened to that, I want to invite him for a meal. Like, I don't know where he had a life right now. Maybe he trusted his life to Jesus. Somebody else touched his life. But if he didn't, let's meet for a coffee. Let's meet for, I don't know, a pizza in New York, right?
Yeah. So you're giving us some very helpful thoughts and practices. In general, you're saying there's build trust in community through, like, welcoming people into your home, sharing meals together. Can you give us maybe, let's say some of our listeners know a Jewish person or know someone, maybe they have a burden to see a Jewish community near them reach with the gospel. Is there maybe two or three practical tools you can briefly share with us that might help us? Where do I start? What do I need to do? What do I need to say?
So one of the things is you can go to our website and Chosen People and find a lot of material on to teach you how to evangelize to Jewish people. It's amazing tools, great opportunities, great books to read. And
that's chosenpeople.com, correct?
Chosenpeople.com. Yeah, okay. You can just Google chosenpeople.com and you'll have it. Don't miss it with the Chosen TV series. It's different.
Okay.
Another thing is that all of the Jewish people know that we are waiting for Messiah. We are waiting for the Messiah to come and then to create peace. One of the things that we don't see right now in the world is love towards the Jewish people, something that doesn't exist. We see a lot of churches turn their backs to the Jewish people. And if you love your neighbor, if you actually show them love, they would want to know why. And the main reason you can tell them, you can be really honest with them. Well, I believe in Jesus. He's Jewish. He's my Messiah.
Amen.
And he's your Messiah too. And from this, you can open a conversation. Even if they don't want to know that, they know that you love them. And then they'll be really interested in why. And the why is only Jesus. That's the only way.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. When I said the word of God is alive, it doesn't mean you hammer them over the head with it. That's not the reference that I try to give. But a lot of times you just share the word of God. And I say this without giving the reference. And if it's in the New Testament or Old Testament, they don't know it's the word of God. But the word of God is powerful even without the reference point saying, oh, it's Hebrews chapter 10. No, it is God's word without that. And all of a sudden, God's captivated them through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit at work. And God does his work. It's a mystery. That's what Paul said, show you a mystery, and it's a mystery. There's one thing I was really wanting to talk with you about, and that is in New York City, with a student population there, and the anti-Semitism, has it made it more difficult? Like you said, it's always been there, but now it has become, I don't know what to use the word, nearly like a cult to be anti-Semitic in those days. Has it made it more difficult for you guys, or y'all just keeping on like you've always done it?
No, I think we just need to even embrace it stronger now. And the biggest reason is because the Jewish community is hurting. We're all hurting. If you're Jewish, if you listen to this, you know that. And this is the main reason now to bring hope to our communities. And for the people who wants to be anti-Semitic, we need to reach them too with the gospel. Like, I think we need to run for them as well, because when you reach them with the gospel and you touch their heart, something will change and they will learn to love their neighbor. Doesn't matter who their neighbor is, but this is going to change their heart.
Amen. Well, Sergey, how can we pray for you? We've got about maybe 2.5 minutes left or something like that, but give us something to pray about for you and Jesse and the ministry there.
I appreciate it. One of the biggest things is I'm just starting the ministry, and raising funds haven't been the easiest way, but God is faithful.
Well, so, how can people get, have you got, can they go to Chosen People and find out how to help you specifically?
Yes, they can write my name, Sergey Brosov, on Google, and they can find my page on Chosen People, donate there. Or if they want to reach out to Chosen People and tell them, hey, I want to invite Sergey Brosov to my church to speak, or just want to have lunch with him in, I don't know.
Can I ask, are you free in Christ to eat whatever is put in front of you?
I'll eat anything, yes. All right. As long as I respect my neighbor, yes.
Amen.
Okay. But they can get in touch with you, and right now raising the funds is very important.
Right. So praying for that. Praying for my family in Israel. My sister is just got on the phone with her. She's thinking about signing one more year in the military, so to continue her service. My brothers are going to military service soon in a year. And my father called me, and he's very worried about that because both of my brothers are aiming for a special operations unit.
Wow.
And, yeah, keep praying for our move to New York. And I think the most important part is that let God just flood my life with people that need to hear the gospel.
Amen. I know we don't have a lot of time. Nathan, got just a little bit. I feel like we need to end this program in prayer.
Yeah,
would you?
Definitely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to just meet with our brother, share with him. I pray for Sergey. I pray for Jesse. I pray for this new chapter in their lives that is being opened, that you have prepared them for, and you are preparing the way for them. It may not be an easy path. There's lots of challenges. But Lord, you are with them in your power. With your presence, would you empower them to meet every challenge, specifically the ones related to fundraising and support raising? I pray that you would open our brothers and sisters' hearts and their wallets and their checkbooks, that they would be willingly and joyfully sharing in what you provided, that you would provide for Sergey and Jesse. Would you also protect his family? Lord, would you watch over them? And would you bless him and his ministry with Chosen People, that it will be fruitful and that your name would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And Sergey, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.